There is much to digest from the gospel reading this morning, but we are going to focus on one verse in particular from this discourse in John 16, and it's verse 25, when Jesus says, "I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father." God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The hour is coming when I will tell you plainly about the Father. Our context carries over from last Sunday, from John 16, a continuation of what Jesus said when he was speaking to his disciples the night when he was betrayed. He said, "A little while you will see me, then a little while and you will." In our reading today, in this part of John 16, Jesus is continuing to teach what Easter, what his death, and then his ascension to God's right hand, what it means. That even though they won't see him physically, just as a normal human, Easter doesn't change anything. Easter, the ascension of Christ to God's right hand, nothing changes in regards to who God is, and especially how he sees us, his people. After Easter and his ascension, even though we don't visibly see Christ, it isn't as if now he just set the world in motion and says, "Well, good luck." It isn't as if his work is done in our world. Jesus' resurrection and ascension, it means that God is just as active. He's just as present. He's just as concerned with our daily needs. He's concerned with our prayers and the things that we want and desire, just as when he walked among the people visibly. Now, there's much talk, Jesus, of using the term Father. This is how God wants you to know him, as your Father. And our reading today sort of reminds me about how our fathers, they kind of hide things from us. Now, I'm not just talking about Christmas presents or the secret candy stash they have in their offices at work. Yeah, every dad has that. But sometimes fathers, they hide the battles that they have to fight on our behalf. As children, as all of us have fathers, only when you grow up to be an adult do you realize that dad probably fought a lot of battles for us we just, as children, were oblivious to. Children rarely understand the effort, the difficulty that their fathers or mothers or parents in general have to go through to make sure there's food on the table and clothes in the drawers. Things often get taken for granted. Not just in families, though. This is also true in our relationships and our jobs and just with people in general. People oftentimes don't understand how hard we have to work for things. The boss doesn't appreciate all the work you put into a project. Friends aren't thankful for something you did for them. We become disappointed, even sometimes bitter. Today, Jesus is teaching us that God, our Heavenly Father, He's always working for us. And it is only really in the resurrection, only really when we die and are welcomed into eternal life and the resurrection of the flesh, will we fully grasp what the death and resurrection of Jesus has done for us. And right now, we pray that the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, gives us a thankful heart, but most importantly, gives us faith that even though we take for granted many of the things God gives us, that we wouldn't lose faith. Only later on in life, when we mature, when we get a job, when we have to provide for ourselves or even provide for others, Only then is it revealed to us what has been hidden. Our fathers, they also hide future things from us. Fathers may see a budget shortfall coming in the family budget, and so they cut things in the moment. Can you imagine thinking back to probably how many times your parents or your whoever took care of you, how many times they had to change what was going on in the household to prepare for the future, but they never told you, even while you were just a little infant, a baby. Their main concern is not that we know every detail. Their main concern is that we know that they love us, even as difficult as it may have been sometimes to see that. Everything they do to show us their love according to God's will. Jesus says, you fathers and mothers, you know how to discipline your children. They disciplined you out of love, even so your Father in heaven. Jesus, today in our reading, he's speaking to the disciples concerning the Father and how the disciples, they don't see the whole picture. Jesus has not been speaking plainly, he says, about the Father. Meaning, God knows what must be done so that we may have peace in an unpeaceful world. That we may have peace in spite of maybe even the inner turmoil when we wrestle and fight with our own doubts. Jesus says, your Father in heaven will take care of you, and I'm about to show you how. Now, God the Father has been somewhat hidden, the work of the Father. In the Old Testament is teaching us who God is and what He does for His people, but it's kind of been hidden. I mean, we think of the Garden of Eden and God giving everything. Then the Exodus, God led His people by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. The temple in Jerusalem, the building it in every detail, the sending of the prophets, all of these things were teaching the love of the Father in a hidden way. In Hebrews 8, the author, he writes this. He says, everything in the Old Testament, the priests, the temple, the tent of meeting, all of these things were a copy or a shadow of the heavenly thing. A shadow of the Father's care for His people, hidden. All through His earthly ministry of Jesus, this continued. God was showing His love, but kind of in a hidden way. Jesus, He showed God's mercy in healing the lame people, the blind. He showed His kindness in feeding the 5,000 and how God even cares for your daily bread. He showed that God cares about your daily concerns. God is concerned with what bothers you. He watches over the way the devil tempts you. He knows what your struggles are. These things, Jesus says, are not hidden from God, even though it might seem that God is hidden from us. Jesus is saying that after my resurrection, these things will not change. God's care and love for you is not going to go away just because you don't see me as you see me now. When I ascend to the right hand of God, God is still desiring to help you. God is still desiring to aid you, to have mercy on you. So Jesus says, pray to Him. Call out to Him. Don't be a stubborn, rebellious child that ignores their parents. Ask. When the parent says, what can I do for you? How can I help you? The worst thing for a parent, the most disappointing, is when the child says nothing. I don't want to talk to you. Jesus says, you are not hidden from your Father. So pray. Pray to Him. All your concerns, all your needs, God commands you to pray because He loves you. But so often we think we can hide from God. We think we can hide things from our Heavenly Father. Like kids who think they can get away with various sins. Well, mom and dad, they know. Just as we as adults, maybe we forget that God knows all things. He knows our thoughts, our words, and deeds. He knows our secrets, even if we manage to forget them. And yet, God doesn't use those sins against you. He isn't out to expose us to shame. Like a father knows when his son or daughter embarrasses themselves and they don't then turn on their child and then go and tell everyone how stupid their son or daughter is. No, but the parent, the caretaker, the uncle, the aunt, the caring grandmother, grandfather, the friend says, "How can I help you?" So also is your Heavenly Father. He says, "Only pray." Jesus continues, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full." Jesus says, "Ask and you will receive." Asking in faith is what Jesus is speaking about. Faith in that He is God and that He is showing you God's disposition to you. That we're not enemies nor foes of God. Even though we think He might be our enemy sometimes, like a child may think mom or dad is their enemy and not giving them what they think they want. No, God gives us according to what we need. When one of you asks your father for an egg, Jesus says, will he give you a snake? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does God know what to give you as you need? So Jesus says, don't consider your unworthiness or your sins as disqualifying you to pray, but let the identity of God motivate your prayers. So Jesus says, ask and you will receive. You will receive. There are no qualifications on this. Jesus doesn't think any of your prayers are silly. Now, we can pray unfaithfully, as the book of James reminds us, that we don't receive because we pray without faith. Or we pray for the things we only want to satisfy our sinful desires. But here, Jesus is encouraging us in the character of who God is. That prayer and calling out to God is faith. Prayer, oftentimes prayer is called the breath of faith. That trusting that if we ask God for something, He will hear us. He actually wants to hear from you, like a parent that desires to hear from their child, or an uncle or an aunt or a grandparent who just asks their grandson, "Hey, how was your day today?" Or our friends, we say, "Why haven't you called?" Jesus teaches us today not to pray according to our righteousness or our accomplishments, but to pray according to who God says He is. Jesus says, "Then the hour is coming, and I will tell you plainly who the Father is." Jesus' hour, or the hour, in the Gospel of John, is Jesus' crucifixion. So when Jesus here is saying in the hour, he's not just talking about a time frame. He's talking about an event. An hour will come when I will show you plainly who the Father is. This has been all throughout the Gospel of John. In John chapter 2 at the wedding of Cana, you remember Mary asked Jesus to do something about the party running out of wine. And Jesus said, "My hour is not yet." But you remember, He still provided the wine anyway. In John 7, Jesus went to Jerusalem for the Feast of Booths. All around them, they said, "Show us plainly who you are." And Jesus said, "My hour is not yet." Again, He was in Jerusalem. They wanted to arrest Him. Then again, they wanted to kill Jesus for teaching in the temple. But each time, Jesus hid Himself because He says, the hour had not yet come. Not until today in our reading, not until in the context of Holy Week, does Jesus start to say, "My hour is here." The hour is coming, Jesus says in our reading, when I will tell you plainly about the Father. Everything in the Old Testament, all of Jesus' life up until this point when his hour comes, God has been hidden. At the beginning of Holy Week, Jesus finally says, "The hour has come." John 17, Jesus says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son." On the cross is what Jesus is putting all of this context of prayer and who is the identity of God. Jesus on the cross is telling you exactly who the Father is. Nothing is hidden. There on the cross, you see God's love for you. St. Paul writes, "God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That is God's attitude toward you. That if he is willing to give his only Son, what would he not do for you? Will he not care for you? If you want to know God's judgment on you, if he's going to hold you up for judgment and scorn because of their sin, because of your sin, if you wonder, am I worthy of God's care? If you desire to know the nature of who God is, look to where he works. Look to where he sits on his throne. If you wonder who is on your side, look to where God is showing you plainly, where he is speaking clearly through Jesus. "The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father." The faith in God that the Holy Spirit gives us, who considers not our worthiness, but in this hour, God teaches you his glory, that his desire is to forgive you all your sins, for you to know that eternal life is yours, that in this world where there is tribulation, your joy may be full, that on the cross, God is showing you plainly. God is literally hanging on the cross naked, no filters, no excuses. Well, there's perhaps one excuse given. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So while we might be tempted to throw temper tantrums, to throw fits in sin when we don't get what we want, when life doesn't go how we think it should, when our crosses get heavy, Jesus says, "I forgive you. Look back at my cross, and I show you your Father's love." Mark Twain is famous for writing something about his father. He says, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years." Twain learned by experience who his father really was. We, by the Holy Ghost in the waters of baptism, experience God's love for us. He gives us a promise of forgiveness. He gives us faith in his mercy because at baptism, we are connected to the most plain showing of the Father's love. In baptism, we are crucified with Christ. We are connected to that hour, the cross where God doesn't spare his Son, but gives him, so that we may learn more and more that our prayers are not in vain, that we would learn more and more who our Father is, that all along, good days, bad days, his love endures forever, that we can pray to him. We can ask him whatever it is that we need, whatever we want, no matter how ridiculous we might think our prayers are, God never does. He says, "Ask." In the end, we will finally learn. We will see clearly. Yesterday, we celebrated the life and the promise that God gave our brother Randy. Randy now knows what Mark Twain is saying. Even more, he knows what Jesus has promised him. And we will too. Jesus teaches us that the Father loves us and He hides nothing. It is on the hour, on His cross, Christ crucified, where God shows you His love. And that love and the forgiveness of sins will keep you to eternal life. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.